This morning, I want to talk to you about heroes. Heroes of the faith, but also just heroes that we have in our life. One of my heroes in the faith is a man named Barry McGaffin, Pastor Barry McGaffin. He was our pastor for me and Tyler when we first got married, and when we were on the mission field, he was our sending pastor. And there is nothing that Barry McGaffin did that I was ever like, not so sure I would follow in your footsteps. Like, it was just like he does everything right as a pastor. He's not young and still going strong, man. He's still pastoring. He's still pouring in to people. And I remember one time, it was kind of the first moment in pastoral ministry where Tyler and I had a crisis in our church family. And I remember not knowing what to do. And so I called Pastor Barry and I'm frantically relaying to him what has happened. And I'm hardly able to get the words out through the tears. And it was such an anxious and just like hyper moment. And Pastor Barry just spoke to me with such calmness, right? He just worked through the situation with wisdom and with calm, with such knowledge of what to do. And it was one of those moments, and I'm like, man, I want to be like Pastor Barry. Because when I'm anxious, he's calm. When the wheels are spinning, you know, he just knows how to center everything. He's always so wise when I'm sometimes not very wise and kind of foolish. He has gone through so many trials in his life, some big challenges, and yet he remains with this posture of tremendous faith. He's bold. He has hope. And I look at him, and you know the phrase, doing what Jesus did? You guys have heard of that one, right? It's a good thing. We can live our lives and look to Jesus, and how did Jesus live? Well, when we were pastoring under Pastor Barry, there was a phrase that we liked to throw around, and it was doing what Pastor Barry would do, right? What would Pastor Barry do in this situation? We honestly have so much respect for this man. We almost revere him in a sense because he is our hero, a hero in the faith. And I wonder if we do that with people here in our own lives, in our own spheres, how much more so do we view our heroes in the Bible? Those heroes of the faith, people like Elijah, who we talked about last week and we're going to continue this morning. This man who had tremendous faith. He performed miracles. He, at one point, raised a boy from the dead. Last week, we heard that he called down fire from heaven in the midst of incredibly heavy persecution and opposition. And I wonder if we ever hear the stories of these heroes of the faith in the Word of God, and we think, man, I could never be like him. I could never be like her. I could never be or do what Elijah did. Have you ever thought that? Ooh, these heroes, man, they're pretty awesome. I don't measure up. I've got some good news for us this morning. And the good news comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 17. It says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Another way that we could say this is Elijah was a human just like us. He was just like us, like me, like you. Elijah experienced many different seasons in his life, many different emotions. He experienced triumphs, successes, like the calling down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel. But he also experienced and walked through great trials and struggles, and seasons of doubt, and seasons of despair, and even depression. He was a man just like us. Let's pray as we get into the Word this morning. God, I thank you that your Word speaks to us. Lord, and today we just ask, Lord, that you would say to us what we need to hear. Lord, we open up our hearts and our minds. We want to be touched by you today through your Word. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19 today. And the context of this is it's immediately after the contest on Mount Carmel. So immediately after, Elijah calls down fire from heaven, defeats all of the prophets of Baal, comes 1 Kings chapter 19. And what happens at the beginning of this chapter is King Ahab, the one who Elijah was going up against, the leader of Israel, who was not following God at this time, Ahab goes home to his wife, who happens to be named Jezebel. If you've heard of Jezebel, this is the Jezebel. She was not a good person in the Bible. And he goes home to Jezebel and he tells her everything that happened, everything that Elijah did, everything that God did. God is the one true God. He brought down fire from heaven. And Jezebel got so mad. So angry. And she sends a message out to everyone so that Elijah would hear. And she says, I am going to do the exact same thing to Elijah that he did to my prophets of Baal, which is kill them, before the end of the day. Watch. She put a threat out on his life. I'm going to kill him for what he has done. And Elijah, this bold, brave, strong, call down fire from heaven man, got afraid. And in chapter 19, verse 3, it says that he was filled with fear and ran for his life. A woman threatens him, and he's like, I'm out. I'm done. And he runs away. He is fleeing with fear. He is despairing. He is exhausted. He has just endured this incredible display of God's power. It was a spiritual moment. It was a spiritual battle that was just won. And so Elijah is completely depleted. And when he hears this threat, he just gets to this place of exhaustion. I'm done. I'm out. I have done so much, and now she's trying to kill me. I've been there before. That feeling of just being like, I'm done. I've got nothing left. I've given everything for God. I've done what I was supposed to do. And now, God, seriously, this is what's next? Nope, I'm out. Have you ever felt like that? Where God is taking you on a journey and you've seen the big highs, you've seen him come down in power and in glory. But then you've also gone through the struggles and you're just like, God, I don't know if I can keep going anymore. Here's the good news. Elijah was a human just like us. God met him in that moment, and God cared for him as only he could. And the way that Elijah first needed to be cared for as he's running, as he's fleeing for his life in fear, was that God needed to meet him physically. See, what happens is Elijah, when he hears this threat, he starts to run away. And he doesn't just run to, like, you know, the corner. He runs over 100 miles from Mount Carmel, and he ends up in the middle of the desert sitting underneath of a tree. And while he's there, he prays this prayer to God. And I want to read it to you. He says, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. He goes from this big, huge mountaintop, glorious experience to sitting under a broom tree praying to God, would you just take my life? I'm done. He asked God to kill him. And you know what God did? He gave him time to rest. He replenished Elijah with food and water. Twice he sent an angel. The angel pokes him, because Elijah fell asleep because he's exhausted, pokes him on the side, says, get up, eat, and drink. And he does. He falls back asleep again. The angel pokes him again. Hey, Elijah, get up, eat, and drink. You're going to need this strength for the journey ahead. And Elijah eats the bread and drinks some water. He needed to be physically replenished so that God could take him where he wanted to take him next. There's a funny little meme that floats around on social media sometimes. I love it. It's one of my favorites. It says this: "This is your gentle reminder that one time in the Bible, Elijah was like, 'God, I'm so mad. I want to die.' So God said, 'Here's some food. Why don't you have a nap?' So Elijah slept and ate. Never underestimate the spiritual power of a nap and a snack." Right now we laugh because it's hilarious, but the reality is that God wants to and needs to care for us physically, because when we get to that point of pure exhaustion where we're not even seeing clearly, we're not thinking clearly, God says, "Would you take some time and rest physically?" There is a reason that God designed rest into creation, because we need it. We need to take that time to be replenished. And so God cares for his physical needs so that he could carry on for another 40-day and 40-night journey to Mount Horeb, to a cave where he goes inside. So he's traveled for over 100 miles to sit under the broom tree. God says, "Eat some food, drink some water, have some sleep. Now you're ready to carry on. Go for another 40 days, and he goes, and he's waiting in a cave. And while he's there, deep inside the cave, still in this state of just being depressed and being fearful and being afraid, God asks Elijah this question: "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And see, with this question, God is moving Elijah from just taking care of the physical to now the emotional, the deeper, the innermost emotional part of him. And Elijah starts to say what he's doing there. He says what his situation is. "God, I have given everything for you. I have served you faithfully. I have torn down the altars to Baal. I have worshiped you. I have done this, and I'm all alone. There is no one else with me. And now, after all of that, after everything I have done, this woman is chasing after me. She wants to kill me." See, Elijah is giving all of these facts. He's saying to God, "This is where I'm at." But what Elijah is lacking in this moment is a God perspective. He's just saying, laying out all the facts as he can see them. "I have grumbled to God more than once, the facts, without having his perspective." Have you ever done that? Just grumbled, just laid it all out before the Lord, but you maybe don't have the full picture. You're not seeing what God wants you to see. Remember, Elijah was a human just like us. We're going to pick up this story in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. This is when Elijah is in the cave after he's given his account of what he's doing there. In verse 11, God says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A gentle whisper. Some Bible translations say a still, small voice. See, God wasn't in the powerful display through the earthquake, through the wind, or through the fire. Elijah had seen that before. He saw the power of God poured out as fire from heaven. That is how God met him before. But now what Elijah needed was not that type of a display. What Elijah needed was to get out from himself, from deep within that cave, and to just come and stand in awe before his God. And so how did God meet him? How did he draw him out? With that still, small voice. Now, a better translation of this phrase, it's a really hard, I guess, if you're a Hebrew scholar, which I am not, so I'm telling you what other scholars have said. It's a very difficult phrase to translate into English. And the best way that scholars have agreed to translate this is that it was a sound of silence. Isn't that interesting? How can silence be a sound? But that's how God met Elijah, with a sound of silence. It was this holy moment. It was powerful. Not in that display of fire from heaven, but a powerful silence where all this stuff disappeared. All of the outside noise, all of the situations, all of the distractions disappear, and you are left alone in the presence of your holy God. That is a sound of silence. And it was enough for Elijah to come out of the cave. He wraps his face because he knows that he is in the presence of a holy God. And in that moment, Elijah can finally, for the first time in many, many days, he can breathe again. Some of that burden is lifted because in that moment of silence, in that moment where God met him as only God could, Elijah began to heal internally. There was an emotional healing that took place. Where there had been hurt, where there was pain, God met him in silence. The silence was not void. And see, I think sometimes that we make that mistake. We think, well, silence means that God wasn't there. No, no, no. God clearly was there in the silence. His power was there in the silence. And he was there so much so that Elijah wraps his face and finally comes out of the cave. When God told him to come out of the cave before, he didn't walk out. It was only when God met him with that sound of silence that Elijah says, I'm here. I'm ready. And so in this posture, God asks him the same question. What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah gives the same answer. Word for word, same answer. God, I have fought hard for you. I have torn down the false altars. I have defeated the Baals. I have done this and I am all alone. I am the only one. And now this woman is trying to kill me. She's chasing me down. Same exact answer. But now he has postured himself in such a way, standing at the entrance of the cave with his face wrapped before his holy God, that he is ready to listen to what God has to say. And so now God is able to move him from the physical healing through the emotional healing that now he's experienced from within the cave to now this deeper spiritual healing. And what does God do? God does this. I'm going to pick it up again from verse 15. This is God's answer. The Lord says to him, go back the same way you came. Travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, you're going to anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nishmi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. See, God gives him a job to do.
He says, Elijah, you're not done yet. You're out of the cave. You're out of this season. And now I have more for you to do. Did you think that you were disqualified? Did you think that maybe you were done, that there was nothing else that you could do, Elijah? Did you think that it was just Mount Carmel and you're out? Did you think maybe that now you're not good enough because of the last 40 days? God says, I'm not finished with you. You have more to do. See, oftentimes we feel when we go through seasons of struggle, when we go through those moments where we feel depressed, where we feel overwhelmed, where we feel like we can't go on, where we feel like that pull of the fence is so strong that we keep going back to it. When we go through those seasons, oftentimes we can come out of them feeling like, I'm not good enough. God can't use me anymore. I'm done. I had my one and done at Mount Carmel. That was good, right? I'm hanging up the hat. And God is saying, you're not done, Elijah. Remember, Elijah was a human just like us. God's ministry came with a plan for Elijah. It came with support. See, God said, you're going to go. You're going to anoint this king over Aram. You're going to anoint this king over Israel. But then also, Elijah, you're going to go and you're going to find this other guy. His name happens to be Elisha. And you are going to anoint him to be my next spokesperson, the next man of God. And he is going to walk alongside of you and he is going to carry on the ministry that you began. See, God had a purpose and a plan, and it wasn't finished yet. And then, I love this, God confronts and corrects Elijah's false statement. Remember how Elijah kept saying, I'm the only one. It's just me. I'm out here fighting this battle all by my lonesome. And God says in verse 18, yet I have preserved 7,000 in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. 7,000 other people who have not worshiped Baal. God saying to Elijah, man, you are not alone. You are not alone. Elijah went through physical and emotional and spiritual lows. This hero, a hero of the faith. We look at Mount Carmel and we're like, man, he was awesome. Look at the boldness. Look at the faith. But this same guy went through the lowest of the lows. He felt all the things that we feel throughout our life. Elijah was a human just like me and just like you. When we say, I can't. Elijah said that. When we have those moments of, I have incredible faith. Elijah had those moments too. When we doubt. Yeah, same with Elijah. When we're calm, bring it on. 850 false prophets, let's go. When we're calm, Elijah felt that. When we're anxious, Jezebel's threatening me. Let me run 100 miles. When we have trust in our God, Elijah had that hope. When we feel depressed, Elijah went through times when he also felt depressed. God wants to meet you just as he met Elijah. And he wants to heal every part of you, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, no matter where you are at in that journey. And at some point in your life, you will likely need God to heal. No, not even likely. You will need God to heal every part of you, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. And so this morning, I want to encourage us that there are three things that we can do, that we see Elijah doing throughout this journey that he was on. First, when God wants to heal us physically, just as he did Elijah, what did he say to Elijah? Get up, eat and drink, and go back to sleep. God healed him, gave him time to heal physically by giving his physical body time to be rested, to be replenished, and to be restored. See, sometimes we think that physical health isn't important, right? We kind of are like, wait, I'm at church. Why is she talking to me about physical health, right? Are we going to do jumping jacks or something? I'm not going to make you do jumping jacks, okay? We don't need to be bodybuilders in God's kingdom. But there is something significant about us being physically well so that we can do the things that God is calling us to do. And oftentimes, one of the ways that the enemy wants to take us out is to get us to that place where we are so depleted that we get discouraged, that we slip into feelings of just being like, I can't go on, I can't wake up, I can't get out of bed. And the enemy's like, check, I've won. God wants us to be physically well so that we can do the things that he is calling us to do. So taking care of our physical body, getting enough sleep, getting the rest that we need, eating the food, drinking the water, so that we can continue to do the things that God has called us to do as individuals, as his people, as part of his body. It's interesting, every year as pastors, we have to fill out this health form, and it's a spiritual health form in order to retain our pastoral licenses. But one section is all about our physical health. And there's one question on there that makes us laugh and cry a little bit every single time, because it says, are you getting 6 hours of sleep per night? And I'm like, is that all I need? Like, can we increase it a little bit? Like, I would like to be able to have to, you know, be required to check. I'm getting 8 hours of sleep every night. When did we think 6 was enough? See, we need to take care of ourselves physically so that we can do the things that God is calling us to do. Emotionally, God met Elijah and he healed him emotionally when he revealed himself to him with that sound of silence. And so for us, it's sitting with God in those moments, in those holy moments of solitude, not isolation. Solitude. Isolation is pulling away and being like, I don't want anybody. I don't need anybody. I want to be far away. I'm sitting in my cave all by my lonesome. La, 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 la. Solitude is coming to God and saying, God, would you meet me in the quiet, in the stillness? Would you minister to me as only you can? Would you quiet the noise around me? Would you sit with me here? Allowing God to meet you in the emotions. Emotions aren't bad. They just are. We all have them. It's what makes us human. So allow God to meet us in those emotions and to minister. It's a ministry of presence that God would sit with us in silence. His presence draws us out from that introspection, from deep inside the cave, to coming out to the entrance so that we can see his face. And then spiritually, how God cared for Elijah spiritually, I think we can hear it two ways. And I don't know how you need to hear it this morning. So I'm going to give it to you both ways, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to work it out for you. Okay, because Elijah needed, I believe, to hear it both ways. The first is this. Elijah, get back to work. Stop your pity party. Get off your haunches. I have a job for you to do. Stop being lazy. Some of us need to hear that message, right? We get comfortable at times. and we sit, and sometimes we're sitting in our despair. Sometimes we're sitting in our failure. Sometimes we're sitting in the feelings of, I don't think I've got anything to give. And God wants to say to you very boldly, get off of your backside. I have more for you to do. That's one way. Now you want to hear the nicer way? Elijah felt at this point like he was done. Think like a failure, right? I can't go on. I'm useless. I've got nothing left to give. The reform didn't last. God, those people, they said, God, he is the one true God. And then they went right back to worshiping the false idols. He's like, I got nothing left. I can't do this thing that you've called me to do. So when God meets him and finds him in the cave, Elijah is in this place of just giving up because he feels like he is a failure. And God would say to him, and he says to us, you are not disqualified. I have more for you to do. You still have purpose. So let's get to work. I have a calling on your life. And I did not remove that calling when you disqualified yourself. I still have work for you to do. Elijah was a human just like us. He needed healing physically and emotionally and spiritually. And God met him. Now, I wonder, church, as we go through those this week on our own and we assess where we're at, whether we need to take some time to get physically healthy or to just sit in the silence with God and allow him to heal us emotionally, or whether we need to get back to work and allow God to continue to heal us spiritually, to move us into his plans and his purposes. When we do that as individuals, what impact is that going to make for us as a church? See, there are people in this church that we are called to walk alongside in their journey as well. And maybe the person sitting next to you, maybe the person sitting across the room, maybe the person who's not here this morning needs you to come alongside them and help them to heal physically. Maybe there are ways that you could physically help another person. I know just this week I heard of a need in our church of a faithful person who looked out at their yard and all the situations that they're facing and said, I just can't. I can't mow the lawn. I don't even know where to start with hedging the bushes. There's so many other things that this one physical task is overwhelming. Church, let's be hands and feet of Jesus and reach out to one another in physical ways, to meet the physical needs, to lift those physical burdens so that others can enter in to what God is asking them to do. Emotionally, maybe it's just sitting with someone as they're sitting with God in silence. It's being that friend who comes alongside and says, I got you. I'm here. Let's wait on the Lord together. It's a ministry of presence. And the spiritual needs, man, you can meet the physical and the emotional needs, and you're also checking the box of meeting the spiritual needs when you do it together. When you grab a friend and you're like, hey, let's go on this journey together. Hey, let's go and weed this sister's garden. Hey, let's go and sit with this brother as he's just sitting in pain. Let's do it together. Be on mission together, loving God and loving others. Elijah was a human just like us. This morning, I want you to say this with me in a minute. Elijah was a human just like me. Are you ready? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Elijah was a human just like me. He was just like you. He was just like me. He went through the highs and the lows, and no matter where he was, God met him in the way that he needed. Today, God wants to meet with you. He wants to minister to you. He wants to tell you, you're not done. I have more for you. Because our God is good and he sees you, each and every one of you, in every season of life. Let's pray. Worship team, you can come. God, thank you for your presence that meets us. Thank you for your presence, God, that heals us. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us examples in your word, these heroes of the faith who had incredible successes and victories, but who also struggled. And Lord, thank you that we can learn from how you ministered to them. Lord, thank you that we can learn how they engaged with you, even in the low moments. God, today I thank you that you are a good Father who sees us and who knows us and who loves us. So Jesus, I ask that this week you would help us to continue on this journey in health. Show us what we need to do to take that next step, to come out of the cave, to come out from under the broom tree, to get back on mission for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.